Will you open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14? Judges chapter 14, and we're going to be in verse number 10. Now, here is where we are in the story of Samson. Samson, his mother and father, had gone down to Timnah from their home in Zorah and had made arrangements for him to marry a Philistine woman. They had gone back to Zorah. Samson had got them back to Zorah. Samson came back down and he went back to Timnah to see the Philistine woman and to talk with her. Then he went back to Zorah to get them. And on his way back, if you remember, he had killed a lion, and a honeybee hive had set up and made honey inside the carcass of this lion. So he gathered out some of that honey, and he ate it on the way back to Zorah, and he also took some to his father and mother to eat. Now as we come to verse number 10, Samson and his father and mother are headed back to Timnah for the marriage and the feast that is going to take place there. So we pick up here in verse number 10. Then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for the young men customarily did this. And when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. As indicated in this verse number 10, the feast was something for the young men to do. They would not, it would not be a short event, by the way. The marriage feast lasted 7 days, as we will learn when we get to verse 12 in this chapter. That's reading ahead, so I'm backing us back up. So, who will be at the feast? Well, in the normal circumstances, the feast would have been for the relatives of the woman, the male relatives of the woman, and for the male relatives of Samson. However, Samson doesn't have anyone to be at this feast save for his father that he's related to. None of his relatives would have taken part in this because of the Philistines. Well, perhaps that was because the marriage was not approved by Samson's Israelite cousins and friends as it should have been. He should not have been marrying this Philistine woman. So the writer tells us that when they saw him, that's the Philistines, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Evidently, the woman had several brothers, the they in that scripture, who would have been part of this feast as well as the woman's father. We are not told why the they or who the they would have been if they were the woman's relatives. Perhaps they were all the relatives, but perhaps they were also 30 friends of them. So they brought 30 friends. So perhaps it was because the woman's relatives were afraid of Samson that they brought, and they thought that they needed, and they brought 30 to help them in case something happened at this feast event. But there is another possibility here. Perhaps the writer is simply telling us that upon the arrival of Samson and the announcement of the feast, the woman's family brought 30 men to be with Samson at the feast. It may have been as simple as that. So that is contrary to some of what the commentators argue about to this passage. It is important to notice that Samson's father approached the woman first. It was customary for the father to announce the bride to the groom that was ready to marry the woman. The father would then leave the prepared chamber where the bride and the groom had just been introduced, and there they would become man and wife. The couple would remain in the chamber or that bedroom for 7 days. Everything was there that they needed. It might have even been just in a tent, like it was with Isaac and Rebekah. And then at the end of the 7 days of the consummation of the marriage, the couple would exit the chamber and the new husband would host a wedding feast for 7 days. Not said here, but in most of the cultures of that day, the husband would have a wedding feast for the male relatives and friends, and the wife would have a wedding feast for the female relatives and friends, but in different locations. In this case, Samson's feast was attended by Mrs. Sampson's male relatives and their friends, and only Sampson's father would have been from his family and his friends. And at the feast, and on the first day of the seven-day event, as we're going to find out 7 days in this next verse, Samson decided to pose a riddle. Verse number 12. Then Samson said to them, "Let me now propound a riddle to you. If you will indeed tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Propound your riddle that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet." But they could not tell the riddle in 3 days. For whatever reason, Samson decided to propound this riddle with the challenge and the reward for those who could come up with the answer. It is here that we are told that it is the normal wedding feast that lasted 7 days. It's a tough riddle. And that had, because it had never been heard before. Samson had just developed it based on his experience that had happened over the past week or two. For 3 days, it says, the men could not come up with an answer to his riddle. They decided to sabotage Samson by pursuing his wife. So the plan to sabotage Samson began on the fourth day of the feast with a visit to Mrs. Samson, to Samson's wife. Verse number 15. Then it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle, or we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so?" Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You only hate me, and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me." And he, that being Samson, said to her, "Behold, I have not told it to my father and mother. So should I tell you?" However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him so hard. She then told the riddle to the sons of her people. It's clear from this passage that the relatives of the friends of the men who were there were all relatives or friends of Mrs. Samson, and they were not happy with this marriage, and neither were they happy to be confounded by Mr. Samson, and neither were they happy with Mrs. Samson because they thought she had brought them in, those that were there for the purpose of being destroyed, to being impoverished. Not only were they willing to sabotage Samson by using his new wife, but they were willing to kill Mrs. Samson, and her father and destroy her family's home with fire. Pressured, Mrs. Samson begged for the answer to the riddle, but Samson would not share the answer, at least not at first. Why, he had not even told his parents the answer. Why would he tell her the answer? Nevertheless, the writer tells us that she begged and wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted, trying to get the answer out of him. This statement actually causes a problem. If you remember, the men came to her demanding help to find the answer on the fourth day, so there were not 7 days left of the feast. The feast only lasted 7 days. How could Mrs. Samson have cried for the answer for 7 days if she had only 2 days or 3 days to get the answer? There's two possibilities here. First, she was inquisitive about the answer also because she wanted to know, and she had been asking for that answer every day. And it just so happens on the fourth day, her friends, her Philistine friends showed up telling her she needed to get the answer, which she'd already been trying to get. But for the second reason, I think it's much better. In my mind, this verse should have been translated a little different when I look at the Hebrew. It should have said, she wept for him the rest of the 7 days while the feast lasted. That clears it up perfectly. That's a far better reason. Nonetheless, on the 7th day, Samson relented and he told her the answer. Nonetheless, Mrs. Samson shared the answer with her relatives and friends. Verse number 18. So the men of the city said to him on the 7th day, before the sun went down. In other words, they made the deadline. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. The men had answered Samson's riddle before the deadline. See, the feast on the 7th day would end at sunset. And before the sun set, before they would have been disbanded, and those men would have owed him 30 linens and 30 changes of clothes, at sunset, the beginning of the 8th day would have happened, and they would have lost. But they said it to him before the sunset. They made the deadline. And I want you to notice the anger of Samson. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out. His implication in his words is that they had done something criminal. Oxen were teamed together in pairs to plow, both tied to the same yoke. The oxen learned to pull together and in the same timing as they learned to plow together. As such, when the same two oxen were paired together, they were both sharing the load. And when an ox is injured and cannot work, the remaining oxen will struggle with a new partner. Here, Samson was using that application to indicate that Mrs. Samson was his partner, that they were rightly yoked together. The men had dishonored Mr. and Mrs. Samson by breaking the yoke relationship and entering into a new partnership. He calls his wife a heifer, and in doing so, I'm telling you this, he is accusing Mrs. Samson of willfully aiding the men in the pursuit of the answer. And at the time he said this, he more than likely did not know that they had threatened her and her family. And so the anger of Samson did not subside. He had a debt to pay. He would make the relatives of the men at this feast pay the debt. Verse number 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them, and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. I want you to notice the Holy Spirit was all over Samson here, and therefore approved of what Samson was about to do. The wedding feast was in the tribal area of Dan on the northern border of the area, as we've already discussed. These particular Philistines were living in Timnah because they were part of the Philistine faction that was controlling Israel at the time. Perhaps they had been assigned there to Timnah by the Philistine kings. No oppression was loosely organized, folks. They were under the thumb of at least one king of the Philistine kings, or maybe at least one commander and maybe more. Samson did not break his promise in Timnah by killing the men who had plowed with his heifer. Rather, he went to their home country and collected the resources to pay the debt of the riddle by getting them from their own Philistine kin. He went to one of the 5 major Philistine cities under Philistine control in the Philistine area that today we call the Gaza Strip. He went to Ashkelon. Ashkelon in the Philistine area is almost 25 miles from Timnah. Samson killed 30 Philistines and took their garments back to Timnah where he paid his debt. Now, knowing his strength and his vitality, infused with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think he probably left the feast right there as the sun was going down. Right after that riddle was revealed, and right after he'd blown his temper at them and accused them, he traveled down to Ashkelon through the night, arrived there somewhere around daybreak, killed the men, gathered their clothing, and returned to Timnah before sunset the next morning. Then, still furious from the events of the two past days, he left Timnah and he went home to Zorah to calm down. The passage ends in an interesting verse. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Now that's not the way it should have been translated, folks. Not for today, for us to know today. Samson did not have any friends or relatives at the wedding save for his father and his mother. And surely the girl was not given to Samson's father. The English translation here is misleading. One of the terms of the wedding was the necessity of a best man. The best man is called the friend of the bride. That's how the Hebrews called it. We call it a best man. He's the friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom was responsible for everything, including the care of the bride, the care of the groom, the care of the feast, etc. The man would also act as the master of ceremonies, introducing the couple and announcing the wedding. Samson did not have such a friend of his own at this feast. No one he had selected from his family or his friends was there to be his best man. So it had to be someone that was selected from the 30. No doubt, it was a close friend of Mrs. Samson's family. In Samson's case, he would have been a stranger to Samson. Be that as it may, when Samson went home after paying the debt, Mrs. Samson's father thought Mr. Samson, Samson himself, had abandoned her and had abandoned the marriage, thinking that Samson hated her intensely, probably because of what he had said about her. We will read in verse 2 of the next chapter, chapter 15, that this father thought that Samson hated her intensely. With that thought, the father gave Mrs. Samson to the best man, the friend of the bridegroom, to be his wife. You see, she was damaged goods. She was a married woman who had been abandoned in her father's eyes. We are not told about the dowry that Manoah paid the father for Samson to marry his daughter, but surely one was paid. No marriage occurred in those days without a dowry. What was the purpose of the dowry? You've heard me already tell you this in other studies already from books in the beginning of the Bible, before the book of Judges. It was a payment made to the father of the bride for the purpose of caring for the married daughter if she became a widow or was abandoned by her husband. And in the father's eyes, it looked like Samson had abandoned his daughter. More than likely, he gave the dowry to the best man if he would take her as a wife. It did not matter if he was already married. In those days, multiple wives were permitted, especially in pagan countries such as Philistia. Well, what are we to make of all of this? What are we to think of all this? Here we have Samson. Here we have Samson who has gone down to Timnah and has seen a woman who is good looking to him, and based on that sole preference, he has decided he wants her. He has lusted after her. We don't even know if he loved her or not, but he lusted for her, and he said to mom and dad, "Get her for me. Get her for me." And if you remember, they said to him, "Isn't there an Israelite woman, either from the tribe of Dan or from one of the rest of our kin in the tribal area?" No, he was stubborn and he wanted this girl because she looked good. We don't know if she talked good. We don't know if she acted good. She just was good looking. She was attractive. So he convinced his father and his mother to go on down to that area, to Timnah, and to make a deal and pay a dowry. Make a deal and pay a dowry. Oh my goodness. What's he going to do? What will he do? He's going to be married. He's got his mind set. She's good looking. He takes his father and mother back home. And the father back home, all is done well. But if you remember, as they had been traveling down there to make the deal, he ventured off into the vineyard. And there in the vineyard, he was attacked by a lion. And being attacked by a lion, he killed that lion without anything in his hands, left the carcass laying there. When he came back, that dead lion had been eaten somewhat by other animals, probably jackals or foxes. They love to get into the inside of a lion and left that carcass there, and a hive of bees had began to fill it. Took his father and mother home back to Zorah. Decided he's going to go talk to his wife. We don't know if he's ever talked to her before. The deal's been made. Father's made the deals with the wife's father, not made by the groom, not made by the bride. As I told you before, normally the father of the son chooses the bride and the son has no choice. Normally the father of the girl makes the deal and the girl has no choice. But Samson was determined. So he goes down to see her because she looks good. He wants to talk to her this time, probably the first time he's talked to her. And so they go and they talk. Then he heads back home. He's got to go get his parents because it's time for the wedding. It's time for holding him to get his bride to be his and to go into the marriage chamber and then come out for the feast. On his way back home, he sees that carcass there filled with honey. He reaches in, he takes out some, and he begins to eat it. He eats it himself, and he gathers some and takes it back to his parents, and he feeds it to them. On the way back down there they go. The father goes in, introduces Samson to the bride, which they already know each other now, and they stay in that chamber. It's not told here in this passage, but we know that the traditions. They stay there for 7 days to consummate the marriage. When they come out and get ready for the feast, they are husband and they are wife. Husband and wife. The 7 days is up. They come out. It's time for a feast. But Samson doesn't have any of his relatives there. They've not approved the wedding at all. All he has is the friends of the bride. The friends of the bride. 30 at least. At the party. And he's going to feed and water them for 7 days. Breakfast, lunch, and supper, and they're all going to stay right there. 7 days. He decides to give a riddle that he's made up himself. He thinks he's smart. But this is really all being prepared by the Lord, because the Lord's going to do this. The Lord is involved in this. The Scripture told us this. The Holy Spirit was involved. Told us that Manoah and his wife did not know that this was the Lord's plan. He propounds the riddle. He's spending every night with his wife. Every night with his wife. And she's crying to him every night. She wants to know the riddle too. Answer to the riddle. And on the fourth day, the men that cannot tell them the answer to the riddle. And so Samson has made a promise to them. You tell me the answer to the riddle, I'll give you 30 cloth linens and I'll give you 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't tell me by the end of this feast on the seventh day at sunset, you're going to give those things to me. 30 linens and 30 changes of clothes. Well, on the fourth day, they go to Mrs. Samson when Samson's not around. Probably they're all out there, but a few of them have slipped out and gone to Mrs. Samson. By the way, she probably is having her own little party with her girls somewhere else at a feast also. The men are with the men, the women with the women, and they've slipped over, they've talked to her, and they said, listen, have you brought Samson to us to make us bankrupt 30 linens? 30 changes of clothes? We don't have that type of money. You've insulted us. You need to find out the answer and give it to us, or we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill your father, and we're going to burn down your family home. Mrs. Sampson goes to Sampson that day, that fourth day. She begs him, and Sampson says, hey, I haven't even told my father and mother what this the riddle. I haven't told them. Why should I tell you? And she begs, and she begs, and she begs, and she begs, and she begs. And finally, Sampson relents, and he tells her the answer on the last day. And she slips that word to someone of her relatives or friends that are part of those men. And they come and give him the answer, Samson, the answer, right at daybreak. Right at sunset. Right as the sun is about to go down. They won. No, they didn't win. Samson went down to Ashkelon, killed 30 of their Philistine relatives, brought back their clothes and their linens and gave them to them, and then he went home to cool off. But then, he decided it was time to go back, and he was going to go back to his wife and pick up where he'd left off. But when he got there, his wife had been given to the best man that wasn't even his friend. Oh, my soul. Wasn't even his friend. What happened next? He's going to have an encounter with the Philistine woman's father. And we're going to hear what the father has to say in chapter 15 the next time we are together. So until then, keep enjoying God's word.